Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Voices for Justice this evening, November 11th, 2009. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, and for the next half hour, we'll be speaking with the CEO and founder of Blog Talk Radio, Alan Levy. Alan will be taking your calls in a little bit. The call-in number is 347-838-8622. And remember to lower your speakers and background noise so we can actually hear your question. The chat room is also open, and you can find that by going to blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. And in the second half hour, we'll be speaking with Mr. News himself, our friend Mark Williams, and we're going to talk about the recent news out of New York today on Lou Dobbs at CNN. But first, we're going to go to Alan, and let me tell you a little bit about what made him do this. After setting up a blog for his father, who was dying of cancer, Alan created Blog Talk Radio in September of 2006. By July of 2008, 3,000-plus active hosts were using Blog Talk Radio, over 100,000 shows on an array of topics. A platform for all of us to have a voice on the topics we're all passionate about, and in our case here at Helping Heroes, a voice for justice. It is without a doubt and an honor, sir, to have you on Voices for Justice. Welcome to our show, Alan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, wow, over 3,000 users a year ago. What are we looking at as far as shows produced as of today and statistical data, if you have that?
So we've produced, we produce over 1,000 live broadcasts a day on the platform.
Wow.
So we probably host over 25,000, 26,000, 27,000 a month of new content, and we've produced close to 450,000 episodes on Blog Talk Radio since we started back in the fall of 2006, including, by the way, President Obama, who was live on Blog Talk Radio in August, which was really a very exciting time for the platform network.
Is he the only political leader utilizing Blog Talk Radio at this time?
Well, no, we've had on Blog Talk Radio, particularly during the election years, the presidential election and leading up to it, we've had John McCain on multiple times. We've had Hillary, Michelle Obama, Huckabee. I mean, we've had every major presidential candidate on Blog Talk Radio at various times. And, you know, and it's going to pick up as the 2010 mid-year elections roll on, and I'm sure the platform will be utilized a great deal by the candidates.
Did you ever think it would grow this quickly and to this extent when you first started it?
No, I really didn't. I mean, I created the, as you indicated, and you know, you noted in the opening. I mean, I created when my dad was dying with cancer, and came up with the idea and integrated the phone network, which is my background, with the web. And, you know, so I figured, though, that, you know, if we can create a platform where people can kind of get their voices heard, which is consistent with the title of your show, then, you know, when you empower people and you give them a platform that's fairly easy, I mean, there's a lot of complexity to it, but at the end of the day, you can use a phone and create a live broadcast, and it's archived, and we take care of that. So, you know, I've been really excited by it, and the brand's developed a great deal because we have, you know, you cited about 3,000, but we have around 9,000 hosts every month through a show on Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. And I know that you also have a blog area and like a community area for those hosts to actually network and you know, bounce thoughts off of each other. A lot of us actually utilize each other's shows. And I think it's a great avenue. It's almost like an interactive chamber of commerce, if you will, but on the internet. It's when you launched the Blog Talk Radio in September, what was the reasoning to launching you know, more or less this kind of a platform versus a regular blog like Huffington Post or others like that?
Well, as I said, I mean, my background is telecommunications, so I own a phone company actually now, and that phone company provides the backbone to Blog Talk Radio. And I was new to the – until I created a blog for my dad who had cancer in the winter of 2006, I had never spent any time on blogs. And by the time I started looking at it, you know, Huffington Post had been, you know, really a leading blog. And, you know, I'd realized there were about 75 million blogs at the time, and I kept seeing the words join the conversation, but I didn't hear any conversation. So I said, wouldn't it be interesting if bloggers who are creating communities and they're passionate about their content, and, you know, and if they could simply pick up a phone and talk about the key issues of the week, well, maybe that's an interesting platform. And that's what we did, and that's how it started.
Now, can anyone that's hosting a show or listening into any of these shows, are any of these actually live and filtered through actual radio stations at all?
Some of them are actually picked up by radio stations, but I envision, you know, as the network grows and as our content continues to scale and improve, I see us being kind of the minor leagues for radio. And we've had a number of hosts who left Blog Talk Radio, most recently one, a young guy by the name of Zach Sang. He went to a radio network called Goom, G-O-O-M, and he was a Blog Talk Radio host, and he was snatched up by the radio platform, radio network. And so, you know, I think that our format enables just an enormous amount of content to be created and creates opportunities for radio companies to get, you know, inexpensive, content, certainly cheaper than what they're paying now for syndicated content.
Oh, definitely. And you also have revenue sharing. Do you have a lot of hosts that utilize that service?
Yeah, we probably have more than 6,000 hosts participating in the RevShare programs. So that's been a good program. And we also, of course, have premium services that we offer. We have almost 1,000 hosts now are participating in our premium services on the platform, where they get enhanced features and functionality and so on, and give a more professional experience to those that are looking for that in their hosting process.
We actually bought into that on one of the premium host packages, because we found I'm the former spokesperson on a major missing persons case out of Florida, and we found that a lot of the panel, we were going over the number of 5 people. And
right.
So we bought into it, and it's been a wonderful opportunity of utilizing more people, especially when we have the missing children's families on, because
right.
Then we can have 5 or 10, which may seem in a traditional setting of an interview too many, but it almost becomes a virtual support group, if you will, and allows people across the country who have known, like the Brittany Drexel case or the Kaylee Anthony or Lindsey Baum, Amber Dubois cases, an opportunity of speaking to family members. So it's been really great buying into that. So we appreciate you having that opportunity. I know that a lot of your efforts are going into expanding, and one is the Cinch program, I believe, an iPhone application. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm not too familiar with iPhones.
Right. So Cinch is actually something that we developed about a year ago, and we launched it about a month ago. And you could go to find Cinch at cinchcast.com. And that's Cinchcast, CINCHcast.com. And what Cinch is it's Cinch can be done. A Cinch can be created in multiple ways. It's almost like a tweet. So a Cinch can be created with an iPhone, as you indicated, where you download the app at the iStore. You just search for Cinch, or you can go to Cinchcast.com and download the app right from the website. And then what you do, you could also use a phone to call in a Cinch. And what Cinch enables you to do is simply record a message by dialing a phone number or pressing record on the iPhone app. You can add a photo. So you can add a photo and you can add a tweet to one file. So you have a photo, an audio message, and a text message all in one file, and it appears on cinchcast.com. And then it automatically is updating your Twitter page and your Facebook page. So it's a real-time messaging platform like Twitter, but it's an audio audio Twitter platform in essence.
And when did that launch?
We launched about a month ago, and Bill Cosby is actually one of the first cinchers. If you go to cinchcast.com/Bill Cosby, you'll hear Bill Cosby's voice there, and he's recording these cinches, and his cinches are forwarding to his Twitter page, which has something like 650,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Bill Cosby. Is he like the lead, notable celebrity face to Blog Talk Radio as Ashton Kutcher is to Twitter? Or...
Yeah, I would say that right now, in our early stages, Bill Cosby is our Ashton Kutcher, if you will,
Does he know that?
He doesn't know that yet. He doesn't know that, but,
You heard it first on Voices for Justice,
exactly,
folks.
Exactly. But if you go to cinchcast.com/Bill Cosby, you'll hear his voice. You'll hear his thoughts and his comments. And that's the thing about Cinch. It's rich. It's rich voice. It's their own. It's authentic. And for comedians and athletes, and again, we're excited about the launch of Cinch. It's very new. It's only literally a month old, and there's a lot of opportunity around it. And again, Blog Talk Radio has been around now for 3 years, so it's a much, much bigger community. But with both of them together, and we'll integrate the two platforms over the next year, there's no doubt.
What about President Obama? Is he using Cinch yet?
No, President Obama is not using Cinch. He was on Blog Talk Radio. He did a show with one of our hosts, which was a faith-based organization, in August to discuss the health care package, and it was a very big success. We had over 100,000 listeners to the show,
which is
a very big number. Yeah, it's an audience that was really scaled.
So for those that are utilizing Blog Talk Radio as a platform, whether in business or getting our voices heard, when you narrow down like profile views versus total listens and then versus show listens and then your listens, what are the differences between all of those?
Well,
and I know you're going to say go to Blog Talk Radio 101. But,
No. I mean, just to make it clear. So we report total listeners. And listeners, you have two forms of listeners. You have live listeners to your shows, and then you have the archive listeners. And the archive listeners are created from multiple sources. One is from people listening to your profile on Blog Talk Radio. Like mine is /Alan Levy, blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. You could listen to my shows there. We also have, as you know, and I would imagine your show is available on iTunes. So people listen on iTunes to shows. They also can copy and paste the player and put the player on their own Facebook page or their blog. So therefore, there'll be listeners there. So in total, or on a monthly basis, we have more than 5.3 or 5.4 million listeners a month. And those would include live as well as archive listens.
So under such as like listens, because this has been a question I've always had, but then I've had a couple people also ask that have just joined Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Your listens mean basically that's live listeners, and total listens under your shows would be people that have actually listened to the shows?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And it's listened to, you have the metrics are all available in your dashboard, and you're able to find out how many people listen to each particular show.
That's been wonderful, because a lot of our panel guests actually like to know how many people, because sometimes you never know, you have in our case, sometimes when we're dealing with high notoriety cases, the people, we may have a lot of listeners, and we don't know that until after the reports come out.
Yes, of course, yes.
Because nobody's actually calling in and asking a question, or actually in the, you know, asking questions there or in the chat room. But are the chat room users actually added into those statistics, or are they a separate?
Well, if they're listening to the show, and if they're in the chat room, they're probably listening to the show. So those would be included in the numbers that
okay.
you have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what is the average number for such as your top shows, like The Fly Lady? Is that what that show
yeah.
is called?
Yeah, so she could have, you know, a couple of thousand, you know, live listeners at any time. I mean, she's got a huge community. She's got over 550,000 Yahoo group members. And she could
wow.
get up to 15,000 downloads to a particular show. So, you know, people subscribe to her show and they listen to it, and they listen to it on demand when they want to, and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's probably one of our biggest shows, and it really varies. We have people that are doing shows like Dr. Blogstein. He's got a comedy show on Tuesday nights at 9. I mean, I think he's been doing the show for 3 years. He hasn't missed a Tuesday night in 3 years. I mean, he's getting multiple thousands of listens per show. So, you know, there's authors and comedians and internet gurus and political conversations, and sports talk radio. There's so much going on. I mean, when you host over 1,000 broadcasts a day, you know, there's a lot of conversations taking place on Blog Talk.
Oh, definitely, no doubt. And there's never a maximum number of downloads or listeners for any one show. It won't, like, crash. You haven't had any crashes in the 3 years or anything?
No. We've scaled the network appropriately well, and, you know, so we understand, you know, where the content, you know, what kind of capacity we need, and so that's really not an issue.
And what about censorship? Have you had any problems with, you know, you're saying 25,000 shows a month? Obviously, is there any shows that get in through the under the radar that have some issues attached to them?
Well, you know, in the past we have had a number of instances, not a lot, but a few instances where the content has not been where people have complained. You could submit a complaint to contact us at blogtalkradio.com, or, you know, there's other, you know, on the help portal, it tells you how to notify. And, you know, we have a customer service team that listens to shows and researches these claims. And, you know, every show that, and you know that when you host a show, you're indexing it into Google. So we've got Google alerts. It's what shows are coming up. And people are generally very responsible, and we don't censor. You know, the only thing we'll do is that we'll reject content that is of, you know, hateful in nature. We will not accept
mm-hmm.
that, or abusive, and will not accept that. But it's really an open platform, and people are responsible. And, you know, there's not a lot of platforms like this. So if you get removed from the platform, then you know that you're, you know, it's going to be tough getting back on.
That's a good point. Somebody in our chat room is asking if you could discuss the levels of having show sponsors.
Well, it really varies based upon the host and the audience, right? So, you know, there's some shows that have, you know, very large audiences, and you know, they would provide a larger sponsorship in that regard. I mean, it really varies on you know, the type of the size of the audience that you have. You know, the best idea is, you know, if you've got your own sponsors, that you submit that to our advertising at blogtalkradio.com, and we could have these sponsors participate on your page and uploading images. And of course, if we have a product, one of the premium products is called a branded profile. And with a branded profile, you get to run whatever advertising you want on your page. You could upload your own images, and you could put your own sponsors in there, and you know, it's all yours. So, you know, we have a lot of hosts that do that as well.
Now, when you're speaking about the sponsorships and the advertisers, Do you have a choice? Can you work with your staff in making sure, like, if we're doing something like we are in the next few weeks on human trafficking, that somebody doesn't have something that's exploiting women and children on our page, or is that something that we can't do right now?
Well, it's hard. I mean, we try to always, we're working with a lot of websites, as you know, and you're on Huffington, and they have it as well. There's a lot of, ad networks that run through these sites and these pages, and mm-hmm. We have a large site, and we have ad networks that do run through them. So, if there's an inappropriate ad that you see on the network, you should send a note into service@blogtalkradio.com and make a note of it, or take a screenshot and send it in. And, so we're diligent in trying to get, always looking to improve on the ad networks, and obviously we don't want to get, everyone has their own definition of exploitation, but we obviously don't look for that. So, but it's hard with the ad networks to really target, particularly with the number of pages that we have on the site. And we have a very significant millions and millions. So, we do the best we can, really.
And is there, when the revenue sharing component, how does that work for a particular host that may be new to all of this concept?
Well, again, I mean, the revenues are allocated based upon the number of listeners that you have and the number of page views that your profile generates. So, if we have a category, if a sponsor sponsoring the sports category, and you're one of 1,000 shows in the sports category, and you're one of the largest, well, you'll get one of the largest allocations of revenue share associated with that. And if you're one of the smallest, then you get one of the smallest. Of course, unless you're doing your own advertising, or you want your own branded profile, and then you control it and forget your own sponsor and so on. So, that's really how that works. I mean, much of it, most of the people that are on Blog Talk Radio are using the platform not for commercial purposes, but to communicate important messages like you are, and get the word out, or promote their book, or, their business and so on. I mean, that's really why most people are doing it. Just like they're on LinkedIn to network with other professionals, that's why they're on that platform. On Blog Talk Radio, they're using it to build community and kind of, get deeper into the topics.
Right. LinkedIn is obviously a great platform also for networking. Does Blog Talk Radio actually have a group established with LinkedIn also?
We may. I don't know. I know we have a big group on Yahoo Groups. Yeah, we have a Yahoo Groups. We have some Facebook groups. Not sure about LinkedIn, but we probably should. I know we do a lot of work on LinkedIn. A lot of our hosts are on LinkedIn, of course, and Facebook and Twitter, and, everyone's on all these networks now, so you really need to be.
Oh, definitely. What is the best way for somebody coming in that is going to want to produce their own show? What are the necessities that they need? I know the answer to what I need, but, I'm not up to speed like many of your professionals doing this, such as, some of them use, the camera, some of them use the headphones,
yeah,
microphones, things of that nature.
So, I mean, really, that's the thing about Blog Talk. You really don't need anything else other than a phone and an internet connection. You can do your show. You schedule a show. You go to blogtalkradio.com. You register to be a host. There's a lot of tools. I mean, there's a big inventory, as you indicate, a big library there of Blog Talk Radio 101, where you can get information of all different topics and get information on how to manage your switchboard or how to upload files and the like. But you really don't need any other tools other than any phone, and that's really the beauty of it, and then you could have a live broadcast and take callers, and it's quite a fun experience.
It definitely is a fun experience, and you learn stuff every single minute that you're in the back door, if you will, and navigating through everything. And John, I'm not sure if that's really his name, but the gentleman that you always hear from, he's right on top of it. So kudos to him. And Amy's been a great help as well.
Yeah. They're wonderful. The Blog Talk Radio employees who here, and, you know, John's been here for years, 3 years. Amy's been really the first employee other than my partner and I that started the company. This is in our DNA, you know, and it happens with a lot of the hosts too. It's in their DNA now, you know. They love the power of it, and they have fun with it, and people have been great. I've been blessed with just amazing, you know, colleagues at this company.
I was brought to Blog Talk Radio actually from Seroptimus International, and so I'm a member of Seroptimus, and we actually had our CEO, executive director, speaking, and I clicked on it, and that's how I got to know it. So, it, you know, there's so many people that don't know it exists until they come to listen to a show, and then
right. All
of a sudden it's like now you have this whole other job, if you will. You know, has this become your full-time position now?
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah.
And can you tell our listeners about your show?
It has been my full-time position since I came up with this idea back in March 2006. So, yeah. And, you know, but it's the company, it's evolved. I mean, not only do we host 1,000, you know, I just looked yesterday, or today we'll host over 1,080 shows for the day, which is the record we've hosted in a day. But we have a lot of companies that use Blog Talk Radio. A lot of corporations use it, Allstate and HarperCollins and Hachette Book Group, and we've had Walmart, PepsiCo uses it. You know, there's so many companies. And so we're really excited about that as well. And we're just constantly looking to improve the product and improve the platform and so on.
When you're doing a show, Alan, does it always have to be live? Or can it be just tapped in through the people that have called in at that time?
Yeah, I mean,
can it
you
be
can
more
do it
like
in
a
private
conference?
Mode. You could do it in private mode and record it, and then once it's done, you can then, you know, play it and publish it. So, no, it doesn't have to be done live. It can be done privately where you're just simply doing the call, but it's private and it's not appearing in the programming guide. And like I said, have it done, and then it's finished, and then you have your file ready, and it's ready to go.
To our listeners, what is your website address at Blog Talk Radio?
My personal site address?
Yeah, the Alan Levy Show. It's also listed on our links page, folks. But for those listening to the show tonight, any other sites you'd like them to visit about you? And
well, I
maybe
think
your
you know,
telephone company?
Yeah, so if you go to blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy, certainly is where my show is. And you should visit our blog. You know, I don't know, you know, you should subscribe to the blog. We're always profiling hosts and putting in information about Blog Talk Radio. And that's, you know, our blog you can access via our homepage as well. And, of course, cinchcast.com I'd like you to check out, and it's a lot of fun, and it's already getting a lot of people over there. And my cinch account is cinchcast.com/Alan Levy, and you can follow my cinches, and I can follow yours.
Okay. Well, just to end on a great note, because you have some fans in our chat room saying, it definitely is a full-time job times 10, and that you never sleep. So I know that it's getting late out on the East Coast there. But just a reminder, go to www.cinchcast.com or visit the Alan Levy Show at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Alan. Any last thoughts?
No, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. And always,
well, thank you for giving us this platform, because, like I said, you know, we're utilizing it through Helping Heroes to have a voice for justice, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity to bring people to hear different angles of things, at least in our case with our show. So we sure do appreciate it, and keep up the great job. Keep up the great job.
Wonderful. Thank you, and thanks, everyone, for listening and participating. It was a pleasure.
Thanks again, Alan.
Have a good
All right, folks. You too now. Okay, folks, we're going to go straight into the news of the day. Mark Williams, are you with us?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm with you.
My good friend Mark Williams, Mr. News from Florida. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm just fine. Had a great day today and, was anticipating my chat with you and all the listeners on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I was brought to this from Seroptimus, and I never thought it would become addictive. I remember when I got hooked to Facebook and I tried it for the first time, a friend of mine who's an entertainer texted me and said, welcome to the 21st century, she called it some kind of a drug. And so it was like, it was addictive. And this has totally become part of our, part of our agenda with getting the word out. And obviously you've been on our show a few times, and most of our listeners will know you and I agree to disagree, but I respect you a lot. And welcome back to Nancy Grace, too.
Yeah, it was interesting. I got a call last Friday to do something on the Casey Anthony affair out of Orlando. And it was so close that we just did it on the phone, but I was invited back Monday and Tuesday night of this week to talk about this deal in St. Augustine up in near Ponte Vedra. A woman said she was kidnapped by three men. It turns out to be an extortion plot that, according to the sheriff's office up there, husband's sticking by her saying, no, it was a kidnapping. And she has bipolar disease, so we're going to ship her off to St. Simon's, a hospital in St. Simon's, while her stud puppy, her 25-year-old stud puppy, is cools a seal in the St. Johns County Jail. So that's a very convoluted case, but I did it the past couple of nights.
That case was, when you look at that woman, I wouldn't necessarily compare her with Heather Locklear, but... you would never, ever, ever know that she snapped. So I guess that's a prime example of never underestimate the power of anybody's, moves. Because, looking at her and looking at all those pictures, I would have never, ever guessed that she could have been capable of this.
Yeah, and those things do happen. She met this guy at a gas station, okay? That's where they met up initially. She's 37, and he's 25, and it just kind of went downhill from there because they met on the beach. They met at her house, had these lovemaking sessions, which he recorded at a hotel because he didn't want to get caught with on an extortion charge. Instead, he's up on kidnapping. He basically wanted to protect himself. Basically, he thought he had a sugar mama there who all of a sudden didn't like life, but it just turned out that it wasn't the sugar mama he wanted.
Oh, gosh. Makes you really appreciate the life that you actually have, huh? I'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I was told one time I'm a dull and boring person. That was 12 years ago. But,
well, I was going to say that might have been 12 years ago, but for the last 2 years since I've come to know you, you're not too dull and boring at that. So, hey, are you the same Mark Williams from WHAS Radio in Kentucky?
No. As a matter of fact,
somebody's asking that from the chat room. So,
no, as a matter of fact, I was accused of being Mark Williams, a syndicated talk show host. Out on the West Coast, and that was on my website. Guy emailed me just taking me over the coals, and this is a guy that was local here on the Florida's East Coast, and I had to point out that no, I'm not the guy. I'm not the fly-by-night syndicated talk show host. I'm the guy who's very stable, who knows what's going on in life, and have never been to Albany, New York as a talk show host, never been to San Diego, never appeared in front of a group of people advocating a lot of things. I'm just the plain old Mark Williams that you hear on local radio and you see on the Nancy Grace show. And once he read my bio, it was, oh, I'm sorry. No problem.
Well, hey, you were on somebody's hit list, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, my friend, you have any information on us? What brought Lou Dobbs to resign from CNN on a show today?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. I mean, we've all wanted to resign on air in the middle of everything. Lou was one of the first anchors on cable news network, as we knew it, back in 1980, when it first went on the air in 1980. The guy is very good. He's become very opinionated, which is fine, because he's a financial guru to a certain extent. He's a fiscal conservative, okay? Instead of going to schools in Idaho where he grew up, he decided to go to Harvard, where he earned a bachelor's degree in economics back in 1967. He knocked around some radio stations there in the Southwest in Tucson. He was a police and fire reporter in Tucson for an AM station. In the mid-70s, he found himself doing television work, ended up at KANG in Seattle, and that's where one of Turner's recruiters contacted him, and he's been with CNN since its inception.
I was going to say, I thought he was the longest-standing anchor there, if my memory serves me correctly.
And you'd be right in the money with that. And he was there from day one. A couple of other people were there from day one, but they're no longer there. That was the midday host and hostess, man and wife team. Chris Curl and Don Farmer were there for a long time, coming from, I think it was SB in Atlanta. And Lois Walker and Bob Hart, now out in Sacramento, still doing the news. But CNN has been his career. He left once when he didn't get along with Rick Kaplan, who came over from ABC News back in the late 90s. He left for a while.
Rick's still there?
Rick's long gone. He came back.
That's what I thought. Okay, so
yeah.
We can't break and we can't blame it on Kaplan for that one. So
no. Kaplan hasn't been there in a couple of years. And talking with some of my advisors, my trusted advisors, and we're thinking that he's probably going to end up. Are you ready for this? On Fox, I think he's going to Fox.
That's a possibility, from what we understand from our friends that we had on a couple days ago. Fox, is moving right up in the ranks with the ratings, and CNN has come down the pole.
Some of the fastest growing networks, of course, are Fox, CNN Headline News, because they finally got away from this newswheel that they were doing during the day, half-hour newswheels, and finally gotten into in-depth stuff like the morning show, the prime headlines in the afternoon, the Gray Show.
But here goes the feminist and the Soroptimist speaking out now. Headline news, what does headline news have that most stations don't have?
Well, they they have women in the
exactly. I think only Mike is the only gentleman that actually is in the midst of all those women throughout the day. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and if you watch,
there's something to be said about that.
Hey, if you watch the Gray Show, the only people that phone in allegedly are women. They have a very tight call screening deal, and they only let women on there. I've never heard a man on there. In the past year and a half, I've been doing Grace.
What, for the call-ins?
For the call-ins.
I'll have to pay more attention to that. I usually just pay attention to the question, but that's a good point. I'll listen in. But then again, how many men are sitting at home following the Casey Anthony case besides you, Mark?
Oh, well, it's sex, lies, and videotapes. I mean, and the network, and really the network does cater to women to a certain extent. Also, the Casey Anthony deal is a soap opera without Procter & Gamble sponsoring it. Come on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, very good point. If you have a question for Mark Williams, call in to 347-838-8622. You mentioned that Lou Dobbs has been controversial. You know, yeah, I'd agree with that, and yeah, definitely we're both on two sides of the fence, but I would rather listen to him any day than Rush Limbaugh.
Well, here's the other thing, is that he first started off as a business guy, okay, doing business reports and half-hour shows dealing with business. And what I always liked about Lou Dobbs is the fact that he always brought the business aspect of the world to layman's terms. He would change it to layman's terms so we could understand it. There was an ABC radio anchor that did that for years, and I can't think of his name right offhand. But here's the difference between Dobbs and Limbaugh. You can't even put them in the same book, okay? You've got to separate them.
Oh, no way.
Limbaugh is an entertainer, and Limbaugh will tell you that. And you've got to listen to him for a long time. I've listened to him on and off since he first came on the air in 1988. And the deal is I was associated with the station that had Limbaugh. As a matter of fact, two stations. So the only time I really listened on the one station was doing the news in the afternoon during his show. And usually his monologue went out of the box at 12 noon. And that was it. But you've got to listen to him just for a couple of minutes, for a couple of weeks.
I grew up listening to him in the 80s. I might have been in high school, but my great-grandmother – I have two grandmothers. One great-grandmother never missed a show of Rush's, and my other grandmother never misses Lawrence Welk. And I can tell you, both shows I do not watch in my adult age.
No, are you ready for this? TV in Central Florida sucks so badly, and I'll put that on there, that PBS is re-airing.
That's not going to land you a job.
No, Lawrence Welk. On the PBS station, it's been repackaged and repurposed by Oklahoma Television, which I'm glad they have, because when I was a kid, I could never stand them. And I look back now, and I look back and I watch the show because just the lifestyles are completely different. We had the silver-haired old ladies and up there dancing in front of the camera, and I don't mean disco either. But, you know, it's a reflection of our lifestyle. Say whatever you want about Lawrence Welk. He's an American icon.
I like the music. I just couldn't stand watching the show. But that's me. But then again, some people would say, "What are you watching right now?" And CNN is on my TV from 10 a.m. until midnight. So go figure.
Yeah.
So
I have a member of our household that as soon as this person gets home from work, turns on Fox News. I will watch. I don't watch television during the day, just due to the fact that I'm busy putting the website together, doing the radio show, or doing other things, and talking to you. It's if there's breaking news or if there's a car chase, I'm right there in the front. But other than that, it's usually often now when I watch TV, it's usually A&E, Discovery, History Channel is one of my favorites. Speed TV, because I'm an auto racing buff.
And the shuttle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the shuttle's right outside my front door, literally. And so, by the way, I got turned down for my credentials for the shuttle launch next Monday by NASA.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't think I'm an accredited news person. I go, okay, whatever. I know where I'm going to go to watch the shuttle launch. We'll do this again in the future, one of those deals.
You mentioned Fox News. Do you really think that Lou may be going that way? And would that bounce somebody else off of the tube?
No, it's not going to bounce anybody off of the tube.
Okay.
Michelle, what I think is going to happen is there's been speculation that Beck may be going to another network or over the air. It's tough to say, but I think Rupert Murdoch has the dollars to lure him to Fox, and nobody would get bounced. It would just be a kind of a parallel switch. By the same token, if you work for an agency or for a network for 30 years, you know, you're getting a little tired, and you want to do something else in your life. And I think that's what Lou wants to do. He's made his fortune. He lives on a 300-acre horse farm in northern New Jersey, and I think he just wants to step back and kind of be a third party on things.
Yeah, but to come out of your contract early on, is that typical with journalists?
You know what? I've never worked with a contract. They tried to force one down me when I worked in the middle part of Nebraska at one time, and I told them, please stick this where the sun doesn't shine because I don't do contracts. And subsequently, I wasn't there much longer after that. But the deal is maybe the parting was mutual, and he was going to go anyway. What's CNN going to do? They could sue him for breach of contract. What are you going to get from him? Three horses? Come on. None of them are probably Kentucky Derby winners.
Well, you know that Fox, their ratings are skyrocketing these days. Do you think, from your standpoint, do you think that the likes of American Idol and things of that nature led to this increase of viewership to the news? Or do you think they have something different than other stations at this time?
Well, first off, what you see on Fox News Channel, FNC, is completely separate from their over-the-air broadcasting. They supply to affiliates, okay? There's one or two shows in Sunday morning that they'll simulcast, but they, for the most part, are on their own. They have a pretty good stable now of television people. I'm thinking of Shepard Smith and Trace Gallagher, who used to both work at Channel 6 here in Orlando many moons ago. They snagged Beck from Headline News, which was great for them. The other thing that I think recently helped them spike their ratings was the fact that Anita Dunn, with the Obama administration, decided to be a one-woman show by taking on Fox News, which you don't do. The Obama administration has yet to figure out how the hell to handle the media. Dunn tried to do it on her own. She's gone. Thank goodness. And whenever you pick on somebody, their ratings are going to go up one way or another.
Yeah. Well, we've had nothing but a pleasure working with Fox News across the country, whether in Orlando, Fox News down there. Great coverage of the Kaylee Casey, Anthony Haley Cummings cases, Fox News here in the Portland area. They've been really good, and the advantage to a story, like you're saying, on Fox, it's sent right away to all of their Fox affiliates across the country. So if you're on the air in Florida, every news station with Fox across the country will have had a soundbite of that, which is a benefit when you're on this side of the microphone and trying to get a story covered across the country. So. So I wish him the best, and hopefully Lou Dobbs, the move is good for him. Like I said, I don't agree a lot on what he has to talk about, but again, I did appreciate watching him on CNN, especially during the political coverage and things of that nature. So what else is happening down there? On November 18th, next Wednesday, we are privileged to have Dr. Lawrence Kobolinski, the only defense attorney on the Casey Anthony case, that is speaking, and he is going to join us for another look into the recent document release and forensics on the Casey Anthony case. Any new news in the last few days down there your way?
Well, just what we talked about over the weekend was the fact that they released the 2,100 pages of documents, and other than that, it's pretty much been quiet. Not much is going on in her case. I think they're trying to figure out what to do with some of the information which came out. The defense team is looking at that, and I don't know what else Baez and team are doing. They just haven't haven't had much to say. And Lawrence Kobolitsky is an excellent person, a guest of Nancy Grace many times. But when he became part of the defense team, that was just weighting everything a little bit too much. So they decided to step back from each other for the time being. But no trial date has been set. The case on the bad check charges comes up in January. So we're in limbo right now. Status quo.
Status quo for the next couple of days. Usually they release documents on Fridays, don't they?
Yeah, Thursdays and Fridays seem to be about the good days to release documents. So you're always stealing
yourself. Do you
think
that's a strategic move on the state's part? Do you think they're releasing documents right prior to a weekend so it gives you reporters enough time to really cover it to an extent?
I don't think it matters what day it is. I just think it's happenstance because they've released documentation on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and really every other day of the week except for weekends. So I don't think there's any rhyme or reason when the information gets released.
We're going to also be speaking with Diane Diamond and a few others on Sunday. We're going to do a Sunday special like we've done with you on November 22nd. In regards to the Sarah Cruzan case, have you ever heard about that case in California, the 16-year-old serving a life sentence?
I've heard a little bit about it, but it's really not on my radar screen right now. I pretty much, as Nancy said last night on her Tuesday night show, I kind of handled the Florida jurisdiction for him. I didn't know if I was a journalist, a lawyer, or just a scallywag. I wasn't sure.
Well, it's good to know that you have your own jurisdiction, huh?
Yeah, that makes good for the resume. You know, I cover the Florida jurisdiction for Nancy Grace.
Well, is there anything else brewing in that jurisdiction in the state of Florida? That anything new on the Haley Cummings case? Have they indicted or brought back Misty Cummings yet? Or
no, that issue is off the radar right now too. I think they're just trying to wait for Misty Cummings to make a fatal slip, so to speak, to have her open her yap once too many times, and I think they're going to nail her. There's nothing new in the Summer Thompson case, which gripped the attention of the state as well as the nation. A couple of weeks ago, she was the 7-year-old girl who disappeared from her walk home from her Orange Park Elementary School to her house about a mile away. That's outside of the Jacksonville area. What's poignant about that is the fact that they found her remains in a landfill in Charlton County, Georgia, just across the Florida-Georgia line. It's right near Folkston, Georgia, where I spent the weekend. And I've spent I've made 4 round trips to Folkston in the last 8 or 9 days due to the fact that I'm also a train buff, and all the train traffic coming into the state of Florida goes through Folkston. Okay, it's become a train watcher's paradise, and it's just like watching airplanes at the airport. We watch trains. But I stopped at a fast food restaurant on the way home last week, and on their billboard out front, on their signboard were the words, you know, "We will always remember you, Summer Thompson," you know, and they remember her because the landfill where they found her body was only 12 miles away from the city. So that case is cut deeply. No arrests imminent because the sheriff's department right now working on about 2,000 leads.
Still being closed-lipped on that case, though, I take it.
Closed-lipped, tight-lipped, whatever you want to say, close to the vest, and the sheriff has done the right thing. He's just shut everything down, which is great.
Well, as always, you mentioned waiting for Misty to say anything. She's welcome to come on this show. Not that it will ever happen, but anybody in those cases are welcome to come on Voices for Justice. So, but as you said, they're waiting for her to mess up. So I would say get her back on to the Today Show or something of that nature, because it seems like the more she talks to media, the more she screws up. But that's
my opinion. In that case, they should have hired somebody who knew public relations right off the bat to keep everybody quiet. And again, that's what the Anthony should have done, because first off, and I've said this on a talk show that I hosted a couple of months ago after this case broke, is that Ronald Cummings should have cleaned up his act big time, because he came off as a guy who worried for his daughter, but he also looked like a redneck, okay, a country bumpkin who didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't have any advice from anybody. He was just being led from interview to interview. Take the earring out, take the hat off, take the sunglasses off, shave the mustache, shave every day. Look presentable, for God's sake, if you're going on national media. Don't look like a clown and don't be a stereotype. And the same way with her.
And definitely don't go and marry your girlfriend when your daughter was last seen with her and now she's missing.
Yeah, and for the girlfriend, Crosland, take the red jacket off, stop smoking in public, don't look like a gangsta bitch, because that's what you are. You're trying to persuade yourself or portray yourself as a gangsta bitch, and you're tough. You ain't tough, little girl, and if you end up in prison, you're not going to be tough at all.
I think Tim Miller hit it on the spot from Texas EquiSearch that, you know, I don't know why anybody could beat him up for the fact that, you know, they wanted help finding Haley. So, of course, he's going to say, then take a polygraph test. I would have done the same thing. But in retrospect, I think there's not too many people that believe that Misty Cummings or Crosland didn't have anything to do with it. So at this point, I wish she'd just start talking and tell everybody what happened, where the little girl is, and if it comes out that there was an accident and she is dead, tell us where she is so we can bring her home. That's all that anybody wants.
As with the Anthony case, if it was a pool drowning or if you wanted to make it look like a pool drowning, call 911, because they absolve you literally of everything. Once you call 911, if there's a problem, that's
right.
About it. I mean, I've always thought that if somebody killed the kid or the kid dumped into the pool, dropped into the pool, just call 911. That's it. And by the way, let me ask you.
Live and learn, and hopefully, if anything happens with other cases in the future, people will think twice before they do anything. But we will be exploring the Casey Anthony case again next Wednesday, and hopefully our listeners will be back to listen to that, and hopefully you'll be able to join us too, Mark, if you're not on Nancy Grace. But I've made sure the show is always on after Nancy and after Jane and Joy, so... But thank you, Mark, for joining us again, and thank you again to Alan for having a vision and implementing it to allowing all of us to have a voice for justice. Again, our next show, Wednesday, November 18th, Dr. Larry Kobolinski will be here, and all of us can have a voice for justice. What are you doing this week to make a difference? And so until we meet again, folks, so long. Good night. Thanks again, Mark.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Be true. Be true. And his address, email address, and website can be found at blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. Good night, everyone.
Why this even happened? Why? Why? Could be anyone.